You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. The New York Mets lost once again on Monday night, their third loss in a row, as they continue to struggle to produce anything on offense. I will go through that game in the first segment of today's show. Then in the second segment, yet again, we're talking injuries as Mets GM Zach Scott spoke with the media before the game and gave updates on all of those players on the injured list. So I will talk about that. Then finally, in the third segment, I want to talk about a free agent who's out there right now that could help the Mets, which is D. Strange Gordon. I'll also talk about Jacob DeGrom's return to the mound on Tuesday and what Mets fans should be thinking as we hit this stage of the season where the Mets continue to struggle and continue to be faced with nothing but injuries and maybe a lack of optimism. We'll go through all that, but first, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So David Peterson took the mound on Monday, and he was... It's weird. You'd say he wasn't good. He gave up a couple of home runs in the second inning, gave up an RBI triple in the fourth inning, an inning where he walked two batters all told, goes six innings, gives up five hits and three runs and three walks, had three strikeouts. So if you removed all the context and just focused on the pitcher, that's really not that bad of an outing for David Peterson. Got the Mets through six innings, kept him in the game. That is a quality start. But this Mets team needs more. This Mets team needs their starters to go out and keep the other team off the board, because you don't know if the offense can produce more than one or two runs. It's such a thin margin for error. And I think for David Peterson in this start, I think that could have made things even tougher on him. Because you go into a game with the mindset of, I got to be perfect. And I got to say, as a former pitcher, not at this level, but as a guy who pitched on some bad travel baseball teams, that is something that plagues your mind. When you have to go on the mound, you know, as a starting pitcher, you got to go as deep into the game as possible, and you have to keep the other team off the board almost entirely if you want to win. That's a really tough hurdle to get over mentally, especially for a young pitcher that's technically still in his first full season here. You know, he went out and had whatever it was, 9 starts, 10 games pitched in a COVID year in 2020. This is the first time he's pitching in front of fans on the big stage. Considering all that, I'm not going to criticize him at all for this performance. I thought he did well. It's just the reality of the situation with where the Mets are, that they need perfection out of their rotation, out of their bullpen, because they're just getting nothing offensively. And you go to the other pitchers in this game. Jacob Barnes gives the Mets 2 scoreless innings out of the pen. Yenzi Diaz once again goes out and gives the Mets another scoreless inning. So far, he has 2 appearances, 2 scoreless innings thrown. And I did want to note, as I mentioned on Twitter, that the Steven Matz trade might be the best series of moves from this offseason, because the Mets get 3 arms in that trade. They get Yenzi Diaz and Shad Reed Foley, 2 guys that have pretty much, you know, full team control for a lot of years, who seem to have live arms that are helping the Mets this year. As I mentioned, Diaz so far yet to give up a run. Reed Foley has gotten a lot of time. He has a 1.54 ERA with 18 strikeouts and 11 2/3 innings pitch. His whip is 0.86. His strikeout rate is 40.9% right now, which is just a remarkable standard he's set thus far. And his expected ERA is 2.18. Expected ERA is an advanced metric that tries to tell you what a pitcher's value should be, kind of removing park factors and all those other things. And that tells you that his 1.54 ERA is not just the benefit of good fortune. He is pitching up to that level. So you get those two guys for Steven Matz alone. It's a very good trade. The fact that the Mets turned that third piece, John Wish, no way am I going to try to pronounce his name. He's not a Met, doesn't matter. But they gave up that third arm, Big John, to the Red Sox to get Khalil Lee as part of that deal. Now, Lee has not been good this year, but he's clearly a prospect that shouldn't be at the major league level. And he is a top 10 prospect for the Mets right now. So to get all that for Steven Matz, who did start off great with the Blue Jays, had a 1.47 ERA in his first three starts, but since he's had a 6.62 ERA over his last six starts. So all told, Steven Matz on the last year of his deal wasn't going to provide much value to the Mets this season. And what they've gotten in return is two arms that are really helping them in the bullpen and a prospect who certainly has a lot of promise. He just needs to be in the minor leagues. And with that, I will say, I have a new theory with Khalil Lee, and it's that until he is off this roster, this Mets team cannot take off. And that's not a mark against him. My Lee line in the sand is just based on the idea that this is a guy that the Mets would love to have in Syracuse developing. So until the roster gets to a point where they can allow him to go back to where he belongs in Syracuse to get that seasoning so that one day he might be a really good player, this Mets team just can't be successful. And, you know, it's just telling. As long as he's on the roster, this team is really banged up. Getting back to the rest of this game, the Mets only got four hits. Dominic Smith and Francisco Lindor combined to go 0-for-7 with three strikeouts. James McCann was the big star of the day. Gets his first start at first base in his professional career. And his first attempt at first base is a really nice diving play where the Mets were shifted on the other side of the field. McCann ranged to his right, makes that diving stop, throws a runner out from his knees. And then later on in the game, hits a solo home run, his first since April 14th. So a nice game from first baseman James McCann. Then Brandon Drury got the other run for the Mets when he pinch hit for Khalil Lee in the ninth inning and hit a solo homer. Patrick Mazika got a base hit as well as a pinch hitter right after Drury, but the Mets could not bring him in as Jonathan Villar struck out looking. Francisco Lindor flew out, and then James McCann struck out to end the game. All told, 3-2 score. Mets lose the series opener against the Colorado Rockies, and another injury pops up as Jonas Schwe-Vargas crashed into the wall trying to make a catch and left the game with a left AC joint sprain in that shoulder. Got to imagine he could be heading towards the injured list. Yet another Met to join the bunch. Just a minute, we're going to talk more about the injuries as GM Zach Scott went through all of that long list of guys and told us when we can expect some of those fallen Mets to return. We'll get to that in just a minute. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. You can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings today. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you could just go to rockauto.com, a family business that has been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So Mets GM Zach Scott met with the media on Monday prior to the game and gave a rundown of all the injuries and when to expect some of these guys to return. And starting out with Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil, don't expect them back anytime soon. Scott called their injuries significant, said they'll be out for a while. And right now the Mets are targeting late June as a realistic timetable for their return. And if I've learned anything about injuries, take that realistic timetable and tack on a couple of weeks. So it would not be a shock to me at all if we don't see Conforto or McNeil until the All-Star break. I really would not be surprised. And with that, that does open the door to say, okay, maybe it's time to hit the trade market and find something. Somebody who can come in and be a big bat in the middle of your lineup. Because as much as I've talked about Jonathan Villar, and we can get into how good he is, how bad he is, as long as he's starting for you every day, your team overall is going to be weak because you just know that whoever's on the bench is a step below VR. And if they're a step below VR, they're probably not that good of a major league player. And so as long as Conforto and McNeil are out, those are two massive pieces that are going to be really hard to replace. So you look at where things stand, I think you do have to try to really find something on the trade market that just makes a difference, gives this team a jolt. And Zach Scott said he's trying. He's on the phones. But the problem is, this is not the ideal time to make a trade. There's a lot of teams who are sitting in the middle right now who don't know if they really are buyers or sellers. Not to mention, the Mets are clearly, you know, the team pursuing a deal, they are not negotiating in a position of power with leverage. So you might get to a point where, yeah, you can pry a player from one of these teams, but you're going to have to give up a lot to get that player. And do you mortgage your future for one player who could just be a Band-Aid over a bullet wound? That's what's going on right now in that front office. And that's why you make a move to acquire Cameron Maybin, because he costs nothing. And you just wonder if that's a Band-Aid that can stop the bleeding for a game or two and you can kind of get back on track. And so far, that's clearly not been the case. If anything, he's opened up that wound and made it worse, as he has yet to get a hit and just really struggled. But the Conforto McNeil status is one that I've kind of said the whole time. I thought it was going to take a really long time for them to come back, and this just kind of confirmed that. Brandon Nimmo is really ambiguous, weird case, because it's a nerve issue in his finger. Scott says they're trying to reduce the pain to a point where he can have a tolerance where he can play through it. And right now he is not swinging the bat. This is something where he can wake up one day, the pain can be controlled to a point where he can get back out there and we can see Brandon Nimmo next week, or it can linger all season long. Nerve issues are really hard to deal with, and a lot of times it might just take surgery to fix it. So hopefully Nimmo can work his way through it. But yeah, that's a tough one. We don't really know with Brandon Nimmo. JD Davis is still the Met that we can expect back soonest. Obviously not counting Jacob DeGrom, but Davis has already started his rehab assignment, was not in the lineup on Sunday with the neck stiffness. He still needs to get some games at first base under his belt, because that might be the position he plays when he comes back. He also just needs to prove that he can remain healthy for a couple of days and play consistently. So they're still kind of in a holding pattern, but they expect him back maybe at the end of this week, if not next week. He should be back first, you would believe. From there, you got Pete Alonso, who might need a rehab assignment, but should return very quickly, Scott said. So that was a positive sign. He could be back next week. We saw him out there taking grounders today at first base. Didn't have that wrap on his hand. So Alonso should be back soon. That's obviously great news. And Luis Guillorme is another one. He's been out since April 30th with that strained oblique. He is going to get some imaging done, see if he is at a point where he can start a rehab assignment next week. So that could leave him to be back maybe at the start of June. That would be a huge addition as well. I think for Guillorme, this has just been awful because he would have finally gotten his chance to play every day. Instead of Peraza, it would have been Guillorme out there. We are probably playing second, Guillorme at third. Regardless, Guillorme could have proven that his bat is ready to be in the starting lineup. And I think he would have taken this opportunity and run with it, which would have been great for his career, but also for the team. The Mets would have won a couple of games having Guillorme's glove out there and having his bat in the lineup. I really do believe that. So that's been a really tough injury, not only for the team, but for an individual who really deserves this chance to get his opportunity, kind of like we're seeing with Tomas Nito, who is running with it as now a starting catcher for the Mets with James McCann playing some first. We'll see how that progresses over time. Go over to the pitchers. Carlos Carrasco, don't know if we'll see him until after the All-Star break, maybe a little bit before. Right now they're saying the timetable is late June, early July. At one point, he was throwing six innings in a simulated game, but he wasn't able to field his position, push that muscle enough where the Mets were comfortable, so they shut him down. He's playing catch, but that's about it right now, so that's going to take some time as well. Jordan Yamamoto ended up getting an MRI on Monday. I imagine that with his shoulder injury, he's going to hit the IL, and that will open up a spot on the active roster for DeGrom. That's what I imagine happens before that game on Tuesday. You go to Seth Lugo, as I said on yesterday's show, looks like he'll be ready to return as soon as he's eligible on May 31st. Zach Scott basically said the same thing. Expect him back May 31st or June 1st. From there, as we already said, DeGrom's coming back. You got Noah Syndergaard, who is now going to be in St. Lucie for one more start. Then he's going to Syracuse. Hopefully mid-June we could see Syndergaard, which will be a huge boost to the rotation. And from there, you still have Pilar, who they're expecting to be back maybe early to mid-June. Almora is another one where it's kind of been vague as to what his status is. And I think that's about it. A lot of injuries to talk about, that's for sure. And of course, as we mentioned, Fargas could be heading to the injured list as well. We'll see what happens as the Mets make their roster moves before Tuesday's game. With all that being said, it's clear the Mets could still use bodies, and D. Strange Gordon could be a guy that can come in and play for the Mets right now and give them a little bit of a jolt. I'll talk about him. I'll talk about Jacob DeGrom's first start back and more in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, like the caramel brownie bar, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, or the apple almond crisp. Whatever flavor you choose, these are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, but they're also high in protein and high in fiber. So if you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Right now, the New York Mets have a roster full of light-hitting speedsters, so I think it's natural to want to add another one. Go out and get D. Strange Gordon, right? Because for one, who doesn't love saying Strange Gordon? I mean, come on. It's kind of akin to like a superhero movie or a comic book. I know it's just a hyphenated last name, but it rolls off the tongue. I would love to say Strange Gordon struck out four times tonight on future podcasts. But in reality, this is a player who has a track record that could help the Mets right now because he is a major leaguer. And at times, a major league player can step in and win you a ball game, especially one that has the speed of D. Gordon and, you know, the ability to be a little bit versatile. He's just a guy that's worth taking a flyer on, quite honestly. Do I think he's going to change the fortunes of the Mets this year? No. But would I rather see Gordon get some playing time over Khalil Lee or Wilfredo Tovar? Yeah, I think I would. This is a guy for his career who has a .286 batting average, which you look at, and in the old days, that is a leadoff hitter I won. All we looked at the time was batting average. His on-base percentage tells a little bit of a different story at .319 for a guy that's known as a stolen base threat. He'd like to see that career on-base percentage closer to .350, but still, he's a guy who has played in the league for a long time, has a lot of hits, has led the league in steals three times. He's won a batting title with the Marlins, has a gold glove and a silver slugger on his resume, also has the most stunning steroid suspension of all time. I mean, this guy is 165 pounds sopping wet, and he somehow came up positive for steroids. That was always one that I look back on as one of the strangest news items I ever saw on my phone. D. Gordon. Steroids? D. Gordon? Was he taking them right? Regardless, in 2019, post-steroids, he had a nice little season, hit .275, .304 on base percentage, .359 slugging percentage, .663 OPS, not great, but on this team, a .275 batting average would be very welcome. He had a rough 2020, but who didn't? And this year in the minor leagues, playing in AAA for the Brewers, in 45 plate appearances, he was hitting .333 with a .378 on base percentage and a .500 slugging percentage. Pretty damn good. Yes, it's in the minors, but it's better than Cameron Maben, who was terrible in the minor leagues before he came to the Mets and has kind of continued that. So if he's hot, take a shot on him. Maybe he can surprise you. The Brewers basically cut him because there was no path to their active roster after they made a trade with the Rays to get Willy Adames. There just wasn't a spot for him, so they let him loose. The Cincinnati Reds also cut Gordon during spring trading, but he's available right now. He could play some center. He could play second base. He's played left in his career. If you had to force him at third base, he probably could handle it, although he's much better suited to play second, but I would take a shot on him. Why not? What do you have to lose? You've already lost four center fielders. Just start him in center. Like, what could the Mets possibly have as a rationale to look at D. Gordon out in the market who you can have for free and say, yeah, we'll pass? Like, you might as well take a shot. And if he's not good, you let him go. Two teams have already done it this year. You can be the third. It really doesn't matter. So I say go out, get him, see what he does. If he was hot in AAA, maybe he brings that to the Mets. Maybe he jolts them. He's a guy who, you know, has a big personality, maybe comes in, loosens things up, goes out, you know, leads off a game, gets a base hit, steals second, steals third, scores a run on a sacrifice fly, and just like switches flips a switch, and gets this team on track. It's worth a chance. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about Jacob DeGrom's return. He needs to go out, throw a complete game shutout, and hit a home run. Obviously, we already know that. Only way the Mets are going to win on Tuesday night. But seriously, this is a huge addition for the Mets and just team morale to know every fifth day you have your ace taking the ball. It's going to be very curious to see what his pitch count is right now. They're saying there's no limits. They're going to see how the game goes. He's facing a Rockies team that he's dominated. If I'm not mistaken off the top of my head, I believe the Rockies were the team that DeGrom was facing when he nearly tied Tom Seaver's record for 10 consecutive strikeouts in a game. So I could see him going out and just completely dominating this Rockies lineup the same way he did in single A in his rehab start. And if he does that, and he has a free and easy game, maybe we can see him go deep in the ballgame for the Mets. They certainly will need it. Now, from here, I just want to talk really quick about the general pessimism I'm seeing on social media from Mets fans. And not to call out my boy Rob Pearsall. He's a good friend of mine, works with me in Mets Marais. Today, I saw him say the Mets are cooked, season's over. And that is just kind of what I've seen a lot of on social media, is fans who are just completely jumping ship and panicking. And to those fans, I will say, what were you thinking when the Mets won that series against the Braves? It's this bipolar reaction that fan bases have, particularly the Mets fan base, and I get it. Baseball is a season with storylines, and they are on a losing streak right now. It's a downturn. But it's May, people. That's all I want to say to all you fans who are freaking out right now. It's May. Yeah, the injury report sucks. These guys aren't coming back for some time. But with each passing week, you get a little bit healthier. Hopefully. I mean, at a certain point, you would think that the injuries would slow down and the injury list would not continue to get added to, and eventually it'll be subtracted from. DeGrom's coming back. Your best player. Huge boost. JD Davis could be back within a week. Another big boost. Pete Alonso as well. Get those guys back. All right. Now you get a couple minor leaguers back where they belong. Your team's a little bit more whole. And maybe you can win some games. To overreact in a marathon of a season, to me, it's just, it's too reactionary. It's too panicky. Give them some time. They've hung in this long this season without playing their best baseball and have been at the top of the division for most of the season. The Braves are dealing with their own injuries. The Phillies are a team I don't believe in. The Marlins are still probably a year away from being a year away. So with all that being said, and the Nationals have just kind of been a shell of themselves since winning the World Series, no one's running away with this division. So take a deep breath. Give them some time. Watch some really weird baseball over the next couple of weeks. We're going to see James McCann playing first base and an outfield that could consist of Dee Gordon and Cameron Maybin. Probably 5 years too late. But you just let it go and you root for the team still. Maybe you don't get as emotional about it in the meantime, knowing that this isn't the best the Mets have to offer. And as long as they are within striking distance, I would say as long as they are within 10 games of first place by the All-Star break, when they have everyone coming back, you just can't count them out. Because when this team is healthy, there's still a lot that they can do. And I don't think they're going to be 10 games out of it by All-Star break. I think if anything, if things continue the way they're looking, they'll be like 5.5 out. And when you eventually get to a rotation, and hopefully this happens, where it'll be Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Carrasco, Noah Syndergaard, and Taijuan Walker with a bullpen that's been awesome this year and a lineup that eventually gets Pete Alonso back, JD Davis back, hopefully Nimmo, Conforto, and McNeil. If that team ever comes together this year, this team could certainly win this division and make noise in the playoffs. And right now, they have yet to tell me that these are season-ending injuries. So don't count the Mets out just yet. Anyway, that's my rant about that. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets, where we are doing another giveaway this week, a signed photo of Edwin Diaz. So check that out. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast, which is hosted by Peter Bukowski and updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.